These are the first-person singular files. And before the next episode begins, I'd just like to say, firstly, thank you very, very much for listening. And secondly, if you've got any ideas for characters, situations, locations, concepts, anything at all that you'd like to see in a script for me to record to add to the first person singular files, then please drop me an email to peter@peterhalpin.co.uk and I'll see if I can work my magic on it and turn it into another comedy monologue. Comedy log. So on to the next episode. And this episode is called Talk of the Town. Written and performed by me, Peter Halpin. Hello? Hello? Yes? Hello? You can see me and I can see you. It's a window. It goes two ways. I can see you. Oh, I don't mean to be... It's a nice neighbourhood. It is. Nice enough, anyway. Despite the average age round here being above that of retirement, Owen and I had both said we fancied moving here before we even met. Not this house, specifically. That would have been freakish. I mean, the area. It was partly what drew me to him. He wasn't normal. You know, he wasn't conventional, predictable. We're not show-offs, but we both always agreed our worst existence would be being seen as boring. Anything but that. He said to me, near the end, I don't ever want to leave this place, Jez. He was the only one I allow call me anything other than Jeremy. And I said, if you think you're staying in this bed a corpse, you can think again. To which he replied, clenching his fist at me as best as he could manage, looking more like he was ready to roll a pair of dice, not if you go first. We laughed and laughed, and he choked on his spit a bit, and we laughed some more. It was the last time we laughed together. Me threatening to kick his still-warm cadaver out the door, and him suggesting he was going to beat me to death. He did. Beat me to death. Well, there are a great many places in the world worse than this, I can tell you. I really can. I won't list them. Swindon. That's the only one worthy, if worthy is the right word, to mention. It's a place people end up. If the one thing you choose to gloat about your hometown is a collection of mini roundabouts, you know it's a bit bloody boring, don't you? Don't they? I hope Owen didn't end up in Swindon. He couldn't drive anyway. He had a licence, but he couldn't bloody drive. Owen and I used to feel rather exposed, sitting here at the front window. Hence all this round the whole bay window frontage, voile curtains and security shutters. It's a strange combination. A bit like an old-age pensioner's bedroom and a prison cell. Either way, you'd probably expect the room to smell of wee. But now, oh, it's all so silly. Why should even have thought that, though? About this thing? Who would look at this obviously innocent plaything and have their first thought be, well, that? And of all people, Mrs. Montgomery. I should probably just go out parading around town with it shoved in my mouth and tied round my neck, wearing leather chaps and nipple clamps chained to a studded collar. But I won't go out in public like that, obviously. Owen would have found it hilarious and a massive turn-on in equal measure, no doubt. In hindsight, it might have been his preferred way to go, aroused to death. A rush of blood to the head, you might say. Anyway, that's what Mrs. Montgomery went off telling everyone, that I basically run a sex dungeon in here, that I dress up in all sorts, tarting myself up and chaining men down. If Owen had ever asked, I'd have considered it. But it absolutely is not my thing. I'm no prude, but I'm also not a flipping dominatrix. Mrs. Montgomery, by the way, is the head of this, the leader of that, the chair of something else. She's basically a one-woman mafia of this little town. Her weapon of choice? Hot gossip. Not the 80s pop band, I mean Juicy Rumours. That'd also make for a good band name, Juicy Rumours. In at number three, it's All Talk and No Trousers by Juicy Rumours. Ah, maybe not. Anyway, this thing, this innocent-looking short blue rope with textured red rubber ball halfway along, just so you know, is a toy for my cat. I leave it lying around in the hope she'll play with it, but no. This is one of my worst ever purchases. Second only to the mobility scooter I got for Owen that he went out on once. He veered across a grass verge, that one just there by the postbox, off the curb and went, quite literally, head first into an Ocado van that had just parked up. He sort of teetered for a moment and then gently tipped off the curb, slowly but firmly pressing his face into the side of the truck for a second or two, before slowly sliding down it, the friction of his cheek against the vehicle making a very long squeaking sound, forcing his open mouth to try and move up towards his eye. He lay there like a broken mannequin, just staring at me, livid, as I doubled over in hysterics. He refused to use it again after that. $3,500 for 30 seconds on a failed 6-mile-an-hour suicide mission. So spending £3.49 on completely unimpressing a pet doesn't seem so bad. Until you consider the cost of reputation. A few days ago I'd stopped to read an epically long text. A friend had seemingly thought the details of her latest quarrel with her boyfriend was ideal reading material for someone with a newly dead husband. Then she approached, as if she'd been sent on a secret rendezvous mission by the KGB. She'd heard some vague news about me being sad and felt compelled to be my saviour. And Mrs. Montgomery is one of those people it's impossible to end a conversation with unless you say exactly what they're angling for you to say. So, I said it, and she came round for tea the next morning, at 8 a.m. At what age does 5:30 suddenly seem like a normal time to start the day? "Oh, I've done all sorts already this morning," she says, as if I'm in a mood to care. Fumbling for an excuse for looking like a doll from a horror movie, I said I'd been up really late as I'd had people round. But then I remembered I'd told her I'd missed having company lately, so quickly said it was a work thing. The truth was I'd been up till 3 a.m. with a bottle and a half of rosé, watching old episodes of D.L. and Pascoe. And as she looked at me questioningly, she sat on the armchair where that bloody gimp toy was lying. She leapt up like she'd just won big on a scratch card, shrieking like mad. She stared at it for a second, then said, "Left over from your work thing?" So, without having had any of my usual free morning coffees, I just laughed and said, jokingly, "Oh, sorry if it's a bit mucky. That's what I used to finish Owen off. Don't tell anyone." She dropped it immediately, and with a quick "thank you for the tea," even though she'd not had a single sip of it, she upped and went. She'd put 2 and 2 together and made 436.9. Now, there are several points to make here. One, I call Mrs. Montgomery Mrs. Montgomery because the one time she told me her first name, I didn't catch it. And she's not the sort of person you ask to repeat themselves. So now, I always call her Mrs. Montgomery. 2. Though she knew I'd recently lost my husband, she had no idea who he was, not even his name. So as far as she was concerned, Owen was someone I'd had round late at night for a dubious work thing and had finished him off with what had just given her a frightful pleasure when she sat on it. But, point 3, last but absolutely not least, saying "don't tell anyone" to Mrs. Montgomery is precisely the same as saying "tell the world, Mrs. Montgomery, for everyone must know this news and they must know it now." She must have felt like she'd hit the juicy rumoured jackpot when she squealed. Gossip gold! So, knowing I was being seen about town as a sad, lonely, needy widower, I was starkly aware I was on a collision course to get that boring label etched on. And there is no way in hell I'd let Owen see that happen. Not that I think he's in hell, you understand. He's in the pot on the mantelpiece. So, I calculated that if there's now going to be a rather racy rumour going round about me, I could actually work it in my favour. I'd rather be the one who gets kinky kicks in the kitchen than that miserable dowdy sod. Now, I want to do this subtly, of course. You know, I'm not a show-off. So, that explains me looking like I do. Like I've had a rummage in the fancy dress rejects from Ann Summers. I don't normally pop on a tight skimpy vest, dangerously short shorts, knee-high boots and a choker for a weekday lunchtime. I got what I could find that seemed to fit the role around the various charity shops, making sure not to buy more than one item per store, so as not to arouse either suspicion or Melvin, who runs the Marie Curie shop. I tried finishing the look with clothes pegs on my nipples, but flipping heck, they hurt. And paper clips wouldn't stay on. Anyway, I need them to hold all my receipts together in the folders. They'll be looking in through the voile and between the metal bars, remember, so it won't be a crystal clear view. But it'll be enough. It's only a matter of time before someone has a peek in, sees Madame Jezebel, and the rumour will soon be confirmed by enough people that there'll be no doubt and no denying it. I am absolutely not a boring, lonely, bereaving type. Right, let's see what Mrs. Montgomery's ridiculous assumption looks and feels like.
Okay. So it's sort of like, having a small ball stuck in your mouth. Not the first. Oh, I think I have my first nosy parker. Word does get round fast. Owen? I'm feeling a little bit exposed here.
Talk of the Town. Written and performed by Peter Halpin.